Hi, I'm Ed Horwich, and this is the ProDig Podcast. ProDig is the email forum for professionals discussing issues about the digital image. For news and information on how to join the email list, which is free, go to the website prodig.org. Now, it might seem an odd thing to do, to make an audio podcast of the photographer who's presenting their work. But the photographic image can be, in some cases, a repository, a holder for the stories that lie behind that particular image, and sometimes the holder for the reasons for doing that body of work itself. A case in point, I think, is the work of Renee Lumley. Renee works in two ways, either as a facilitator, helping her subjects take the images with her and for themselves, and at other times as a photographer making a document. Now, Renee talks in such a heartfelt and richly illustrative way that I really wanted you to hear her. And of course, I've put some links on the information accompanying this podcast and on ProDig so that you can link through and see the images themselves on her own website. The recording was made at the Democratic Image Symposium in Manchester, organised by Looko 7 and Red Eye, in April 2007.
Our second speaker this morning is Renee Lumley. Renee graduated from Blackpool with a degree in commercial photography in 1998, and after graduating she began undertaking a series of self-initiated projects, using photography as a means of communication. And these projects took her to places like Cambodia, Fiji, New Zealand, Mexico, and a number of other places. She subsequently undertook a PGCE, Postgraduate Certificate in Education, in Manchester, and that was swiftly followed by an MA in Media, Photography, and Writing. She was then commissioned to take part in a three-year residency in hospitals across the northwest of England. And one of those projects I think she'll touch on today. She's going to talk about three different projects today. So thank you, Renee.
I'm going to talk from a quite personal level, really, and talk about my work from the heart, really, I suppose. Just give you a little bit of background about the work I do and why I do it. This is very tall, isn't it? I'm really little. Can I? That's better. Just give you a little bit of background, really, about the type of work I do and why I do it. I'm very, very sort of interested in body image and how the body is represented, particularly, which led me into sort of a personal exploration of work, but also led me into the type of work that I get commissioned for and seeking out those commissions and residencies. All the projects that I've done, it's done on a very collaborative basis. I sort of sometimes see myself as a facilitator, working with individuals and working with groups to explore photography in that way. And also I work in a more traditional role, I suppose, as a photographer who is recording and documenting what's there. I've got mainly three projects to show you today. This first one is a project called Beyond the Obvious. It started in around 2003, and I'm still sort of engaged in working with it to a level today. It was based around a group of women across the Northwest, primarily around Manchester, because it's where I'm based, who had been affected by breast cancer. I approached a support group who were using Withington Hospital at the time. They'd all gone through various stages of surgery and recovery, and they were using the hospital as a support group to meet each other and talk about their experiences. And I went in as a photographer, as an artist, to maybe talk about and give them a different way of expressing how they thought and felt about their bodies and the changes that their bodies were going through. So I'll show you some of the images. First one, I suppose I should probably make clear as well that the process of making the photograph for me the control of the image was given over to the participants. So in a sense, I wasn't really in this project directing the work that was created. The ladies that I was working with came up with the images, and then we negotiated how to capture them on various film, camera, and digital media that we used. Sunflowers. This was brought about by a lady called Edna. She wanted to represent her body in terms of her breast having one healthy breast and one decaying, dying breast. And the best way she thought of representing that and photographing that was to photograph some sunflowers. One that's healthy, strong, growing, and the other that's decaying. So we worked for quite a while, actually, a good number of weeks, photographing various different types of flowers and getting the composition right, etc. And Edna was 70-odd, never really into art photography, and by the end of it she was using a 5-4 camera with a big cloth over her head and stuff, so it was really successful. She got a lot from it, so did I. Next one. Oh, windmills going round and round. This was done by a lady called Bushra. She came from a Muslim background, and her experience working with working in the group, she was quite isolated. It was they were mainly white ladies, and within her sort of family cultural experience, she didn't really express and talk about her illness to her family and the people around her. So it sort of gave her a voice really and a platform to talk about her illness, and she wanted to depict her illness through a windmill, i.e. Using it as a metaphor, I suppose, in the sense of the windmill going round and round, the thoughts racing around her head. So we went out in the middle of a really, really hot day to a wind farm on top of a hill. Again, 5-4 camera, jumping up the hill, and she took some photographs of the wind farm to capture her representation of her body image. Oh gosh, wigs, blimey. We had several sessions in this group, trying on different wigs, trying on different haircuts, and had this whole fashion parade going on. And hair, again, I think Marisa referred to particularly family and female, how hair is important, it's treasured, etc. We did a lot of work around on losing one's hair through chemotherapy, and wigs became a really sort of important part of the process, looking at identity and looking at representation. So this was one of the ladies' images. She decided, rather than to show the wig on her per se, to show the to put it on a dummy, on a model, so to speak, to sort of remove her identity from it, because she chose not to be to be photographed, but wanted the representation over. So again, that was her choice. Oh, lots of stories about this image. This is one of my ladies that I'm still in contact with, and phone her quite often, and we've become quite good friends. And this is one of the ladies that I'm going to continue working with over the next 3 years. When I started this project in 2003, it was initially going to be a 6-week project. We're now obviously in 2007, and I'm still working on it. So I think the longevity of the relationships that you build up when you're working closely with people on an intimate level, and particularly working with representation and working with body image, you need to develop that time and that relationship in that space. And a lot of the time I sort of felt that, in a sense, the artwork that was created and the photographs that resulted were secondary really to the relationship and the communication that we built up in the process. This image came about as a piss take, basically. I thought, it was sort of my idea, I thought, God, wouldn't it be interesting to do piss take of page 3 for the sun and call it page 1.5. So And I approached Julie, and she said, I've got this idea to sort of subtly subvert the sexualized body. Would you be up for a portrait? And she's like, oh yeah, that's fantastic. And I said, I'm going to do it, in a sort of very Page Three style, very glamorous, very, got a makeup artist in, did her hair and all of this, and called it Page One and a Half. And anyway, when the press releases went round for the exhibition, it went through various media agencies, and the picture desk of The Sun contacted me and said, we really, really love your photograph. We want to do a breast cancer awareness special in the health pages. Can we use your image? So what started off as a piss take ended up going global in the Sun newspaper with an audience of something like 10 million. When it was on the web, the day it was published, I think something like 100,000 downloads of this image in the first hour of it being online. So again, it was sort of, I was interested in the fact that an image that wouldn't usually be seen, that was usually covered up and hidden in a sense, was put out to a wider audience in quite a bizarre context for me, really, my work being in the Sun newspaper. There you go. Bras, blimey. Oh, this is another example of working with the ladies on an intimate level, looking at clothing and changes that you need to make, really, in when you do go through a mastectomy, and when you lose a part of your body, and how you come to terms with that. And, it's sort of, obviously I have no experience of mastectomies personally, and have no understanding, I suppose, on the level of how sexy underwear was just not an option anymore, because nobody made underwear that was sexy for ladies that had mastectomy. So we did a whole series of work based on bras, and this is one of Julie's images as well. We learned photography skills, and she wanted to put it across very, very abstract. So that was her result from that. The exhibition was in the Whitworth Art Gallery in Manchester, October 2003, to celebrate Breast Cancer Awareness Month. One of my sort of bugbears, I suppose, of working in collaboration and working with communities is how it can there's a hierarchy, I feel, sometimes, of how work that's participatory or in collaboration with, term it, non-professional artists, working with artists, and where that work gets viewed and how that work gets publicised and the type of white walls it goes on. I'm really quite interested in that as a concept, how work is valued from people that do participate in projects who are non-artists. So I'm sort of very, very, very strong on the way that I work, that when I do work in partnership with people, we work on a very, very professional level, that they are artists and contribute to the same level that I do. There's no hierarchy between me as photographer and them as participant. It's very much a collaborative process, and where my work would be on a gallery wall or published in a book, their work should be of the same standing and receive the same opportunities and reach the same audiences. So this is an overview of the show that was on at the Whitworth. It wasn't just photography, there were other bits of work in there. Some of the ladies decided to work with sculpture, as you can see with just at the side with the balloons, different inflated size balloons, different colours, different shapes. So that was a piece there. The ladies decided themselves the order. They decided how it was to be curated, how the images were to be selected, and I sort of worked as a facilitator for that to put their work across. And they also decided on the size and scale. So put off there on the top, but there was three images up in the Whitworth that were 10 foot by 10 foot, and then the others were sort of A3 size, along with the sculptural pieces. it received quite a good audience, really. I got a lot of work from resulting with that. It was very, very hard work putting it all together. And I think something that, I don't know, maybe you want to touch on later when we have the discussions, is some of the problems, I suppose, that you have when you're working collaboratively. There are issues surrounding quality, there are issues surrounding artistic visions and so on. So it might be something we want to talk about later. Okay, this is a body of work called My Body and Me. Again, this spanned over several years. I think I started this body of work initially in 1998, and I worked right the way through to 2003, 2004 with this. And again, it was working with women, sometimes groups of women, sometimes on an individual basis, looking at portraiture, looking at body image, and looking at how the body is represented. I'm quite interested as a practitioner in how the female body is sexualized. I know we touched very slightly yesterday on the global phenomenon of porn and how porn is represented over the internet. What I'm quite interested in viewing is an alternative view of the female body, sometimes in a sensual, sometimes in a sexual way. I did a series of work on women with facial scarring and how this particular model, Adele, found it easier to be bodily naked than facially naked. Her face was ripped apart by two dogs when she was 7 years old, and she'd had a lot of reconstructive surgery. So I was sort of very interested in the concept of how surgery works and how sort of modern day society, there's this fascination with plastic surgery for beautification in a way, and how I was interested in the sort of difference between accessing plastic surgery to rebuild and construct, but also to sort of the opposite side of the scale to improve one's physique. Boob jobs, etc. So we did a lot of work around that. This work grew actually quite rapidly from working with Adele on the series of facial scarring. Again, she decided that she wanted the imaging colour. She decided she wanted to view directly back into the screen. And she decided she wanted to wear no makeup. And she decided that the image was going to be quite high key. So again, she was directing, and I was the sort of photographic exchange. The My Body and Me series turned into a project where I worked with a group of ladies who had gone through hysterectomy surgery, some prior to childbirth and some post-childbirth. So there were lots of issues surrounding having body bits, reproductive bits, taken out of your body that wouldn't allow you therefore to reproduce children, and also the sort of relationship that changes with your body after you've had surgery or after, you know, mastectomy, after hysterectomy surgery, where you have to look at your body in a whole different context. Again, you know, these ladies have never sat for a photographer before, let alone take the clothes off to a complete stranger. So it was quite an interesting thing to work with them over a long period of time to build up trust and confidence, to get to the point where they did reveal themselves, where they were comfortable to be naked in front of the camera. I think the next three images, these were shown at a gallery in London. It was part of a body image show, again the ladies came down to view it. They decided how it was going to be, the order in which the sequence was run, and to be there to talk to the audience that were receiving their work. Okay, this is a project I did. I think I started this in 2002. It's called Me, Myself, I. I've only got a couple of images from this series. As Janice mentioned before, I've worked as an artist in residence across the Northwest in various hospitals. This was a residency I did at Withenshaw Hospital with the cystic fibrosis unit, where I worked with a group of young people who were resident in the CF wards. And the purpose of this work was to work with the young people in a sense where they received a lot of physio and they received a lot of physical contact from doctors, from nurses, from physios, through rehabilitation. So they spent a lot of their time being touched, their bodies being touched. And what I was interested in doing is to create a photograph, an intimate portrait, an intimate exchange that included parts of their body that they took control over, which parts they viewed and which parts they showed to the audience. We worked with photography and worked with poetry. Again, it started with building relationships, building trust, working on a very, very intimate level with the young people. Obviously, it's quite emotional work doing this type of work. You know, these young people didn't have long to live, and the whole purpose of the work was to create some form of legacy. So, say in 5, 10, 15 years, somebody was to open a drawer and find a photograph of somebody. This young girl was called Charlotte. To open a drawer in Charlotte, once Charlotte had passed, to open it and say, yeah, that image really sums up Charlotte and her experience and how she wanted to be represented and remembered. So we worked with poetry, and Charlotte wrote a poem to go along with this portrait that we took. And the line that stood out for both of us was, "I shine like a jewel in other people's eyes." And we decided that we were going to take a picture of the back of her jeans. She wasn't happy with her photograph of her face being shown. I was quite interested in her jewellery, but also in the hospital bands. You know, she couldn't leave the hospital without, you know, this identity bracelet being on. And we were quite interested in jewellery and an adornment, really, in terms of how she could never sort of escape her representation inside the hospital with this plastic band around her hand. So we decided to create a portrait. I was interested yesterday when Celia raised a question about, I suppose, the future of still photograph and its purpose, and has it got a role? My work, I tend to work very, very intimately with the still image and try and create tenderness, I suppose, within the frame. You know, obviously through viewing the work that's here, they are very, very quite up close, very, very intimate portraits. And I really quite like the idea of celebrating that tenderness and that intimacy within a still frame. I think it captures a moment that can sometimes be lost and that wouldn't otherwise be remembered and captured. Second image from the Me, Myself, I, portrait of John. Again, you know, tubes, hospital tube identity were quite a focus and quite a talking point for this body of work. What was really interesting with John was a lot of young people, when they have CF, have a lot of issues concerning body image, but they have a lot of issues concerning weight, putting weight on, losing weight, retaining weight. And one of sort of John's strategies for dealing with his ever-changing appearance, body image, was to bodybuild. I thought it was really nice to capture part of his physique with a hard muscle tattoo, with the very sort of gentle, simple tube that's sort of keeping his treatment, keeping him alive. So now, this is probably my most hardest subject that I ever worked with. This is a body of work I created for my master's degree. It's called A Portrait of Relationships. And again, like Marissa, I turned my sort of practice within working within the family home. And I took a series of portraits of my mother over a series of years, about 5 years. Again, it was again working in collaboration where sometimes I'd be the director, sometimes she would be the director. But the results of the images were very much a collaboration between us both of what was showed, what was viewed, and what was captured in the first place. My mum wanted me to work in a bank. So you can imagine, and I did. I worked in a bank for 8 years on something ridiculous. I hated it. And I finally sort of broke free, sort of mid-20s, and decided that, you know, oh, I'm a real artist. It was frowned upon quite heavily. So for me to, you know, several years on, to actually work on an intimate level with my mum and have her sort of engaged in my work and my process, it was quite an eye-opener for me, really. She died last year, unfortunately. She suffered quite a long illness, and we did a body of work based around her constraints and her frustration, really, of being housebound, basically. And you know, the only exchange after a while that I had with my mother centered around the bedroom. You know, it was where everything, all the care, all the conversations, all our exchanges happened. So we created a body of work using still life, using portraiture, and using body image. So these are some of my mother's images. I just thought I'd show you today. Oh, something about old people and how they collect things and display things I find absolutely fascinating. So we captured lots of images of, you know, sort of trinkets around the house, and she's very, very proud of them. Consequently, now, you know, I had a big row with my dad last week, actually, throwing a load of his stuff out. So I'm really quite glad I actually captured some of these, because these all went to a charity shop. So I feel quite relieved that I did this body of work with her and captured part of her personality, I suppose, on the walls in her house. Oh, faith became quite an important part for her when she, you know, was realising that her illness was terminal, I suppose. And she gained a lot of strength from that, so it was her sort of idea to capture a portrait, but capture it in terms of capturing her spiritual side, I suppose. Oh, the bed and the dressing table. I did some work based around a lot around the dressing table within the house. It was again, we did some writing with this, and this photograph resulted from an exchange, a conversation that went on between my mother and I, and how, you know, she looked in the dressing room mirror and realised how old and frail she was, and my entire life centred around working with her in that bedroom, in that very sort of confined domestic space. You know, between the bed and between the dressing table. So she thought it was quite important to capture this as a still as well. I think this is a final image, I'm not sure, just let me check. It's quite interesting, the parallels, I suppose, between Marissa's work and my work, where she did a study of hands. And this is one of the series of images I took with my mum on hands and feet, funnily enough. I haven't shown any of those today. But she spent a lot of time sort of, you know, looking out the window, trying to, you know, access the light that she used to have outside of the home and then didn't. So we took a whole series of still images around capturing her parts of her body, part of her representation around being stuck in the domestic. I'll just have a quick look down at my notes, see if I've any burning issues I need to say before I sit down. I really wanted to touch on this. It was something that was brought up yesterday, really. I suppose my work is really about giving access to people that wouldn't usually access photography as a means of communication. So it's giving them a different, an alternate view. And hopefully, you know, create some images that offer an alternative voice, I suppose. And I think that's it.
For more news and information, and to sign up for the email list, which is free, go to our website, prodig.org.